On today's show, Mike Jones, the writer and escort who came forward several years ago with evidence of a gay sex affair with the Reverend Ted Haggard.
One morning at the gym while watching TV, Mike discovered that Ted Haggard was the true identity of one of his regular sex clients. He knew he needed to come forward to expose the minister and his church's hypocrisy on gays.
Mike Jones' tell-all book, I Had to Say Something, The Art of Ted Haggard's Fall, explicitly details the sex he had with Haggard, which included sex toys and even a sexy Stars and Stripes thong. Woo!
The story caused a huge rift in the powerful New Life Church as members were forced to examine their own prejudice against same-sex relationships and even question their religion.
2 years after the controversy, Ted Haggard and his church are back in the news as more people have come forward to expose the church's cover-up in the light of HBO's new documentary, The Trials of Ted Haggard.
Mike is also selling an erotic painting of himself on eBay. Hurry up, the bidding ends on February 12th.
Listen as we talk with Mike about why he came forward in the first place.
Why he felt rejected by gay people.
And where we all go from here. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Million.
And this is Feast of Fools. Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fantastic people like you.
We really can't do this show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
Your contributions make the site and this podcast possible.
Thank you. This Gay Fun show is also brought to you in part by Steamworks, Gym, Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, and now Seattle, Washington.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you.
Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get the special discount. And remember,
play hard, play smart. That means use a condom, people.
Hello?
Hi, Mike Jones.
Yes.
This is Mark Fillion.
And Fausto Fernos from the Feast of Fools podcast. Welcome to the show. So, Mike, why'd you come forward with your story several years ago?
The simple answer is to expose the hypocrisy. Once I found out, you know, I saw him for about 3 years, and I didn't know who he was for 2.5 years other than Art from Kansas City. But once I discovered who he was, that's when my dilemma, and as I call in my book, the chapter My Agony, began. Because then I was like, oh my God, now what do I do with this information?
How'd you know who he was? How'd you find out?
God, I wish you'd read my book. You'd know all this.
Well, your publicist did not send us a book, okay?
Yes.
So
and
you yell at her.
Our listeners don't have it either.
And hey, people who are listening to this program would not necessarily be familiar with the book, but this is an opportunity to promote your book.
I understand, but it's been out for, what, 2 years now? But
I got the Cliff Notes, though.
Okay, well, good. Well, the book is called I Had to Say Something. Mm-hmm. And really what happened was I was sitting watching the History Channel, and there was a show about the Antichrist. And as I'm watching, I know, ironic, right?
And, that's hysterical.
And I'm watching this, and all of a sudden, Art from Kansas City appears. And I'm going, oh my God, that's Art. And so they flashed his name so quickly that I was kind of stunned. And as I was listening to him talking, so they kept showing his face over and over, but never showed a name again. And I'm like, this guy is really knowledgeable about what he's talking. Now, mind you, I had a lot of clergy come to me. So it wasn't a shock that he was involved maybe in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the program ended, and I'm like, I'm really curious who he is. So I was going to order a tape of the program. But this is where it was meant to be that I found out. The very, very next morning, I'm at the gym. And usually all the television sets are tuned into sports or news or something. Somebody from the night before, because I got there at 5 a.m., somebody from the night before had turned one of the TVs to the religious station. And lo and behold, there I am on the treadmill underneath this one monitor, and there he is again. But this time, his name, I got his name. And so...
Did the name ring a bell? Did you kind of...
I had heard, yes, but I still didn't really put things together. So I went, came home, and I Googled, you know, Ted Haggard, and then I started researching who he was and what he was saying. And that's when things really started hitting, because I read some things that were not so nice about towards the gay community. And so that's when the whole hypocrisy thing came in, and my agony to myself and my torment about, oh my God, I've never outed someone before. I mean, I've always kept everything confidential, but this was huge. He had such an influence.
Now, to clarify what you were doing at the time, you were working during the day as a fitness trainer.
Yeah.
And then at part-time, you were a sex worker.
That's correct, a male escort.
And is that now, is what, I'm not sure what the law is considering in Colorado, but it is something where you're sort of walking the line. It's considered something illegal to sell sex for money in Colorado,
oh,
right?
Of course.
And so you decided to come forward at risk to yourself.
Yes. And there were drugs involved also.
And there were, so you were also selling drugs
now,
to
see,
the...
This is where people get really confused, and this is what the one that bit me in the butt the most. I helped him obtain meth. I have admitted that from day one, but people have associated that with I was the drug dealer.
Did you see him actually take the meth?
Yes.
Okay, because he in the documentary that we watched last night on HBO, he denies ever taking it. He says he throws it out.
And so he flushed it down the toilet.
No, that was that. But in the documentary, though, you have to understand that's what he had said at first, that he bought it and threw it away. But you have to understand, that's the part that he has come to terms with. He admitted, when he did the Larry King interview last night, I mean, he admitted, yes, I did the drugs. Yeah.
Okay.
So how did you exactly come forward? Did you hold a press conference, or did the book come out? Was the way of coming forward.
The thing people think, they go, oh, yeah, Mike Jones just did this for money. Let me tell you, when, if I was going to do it for money, I would do this thing totally different than what I did. I was just furious. I had told nobody about this. I was so furious about the hypocrisy that I... So for 4 to 5 months, I knew who he was when he was seeing me. And I go... I just racked my brain, and I wrote questions to myself. Do I keep quiet? Do I tell the church? Do I tell the press? What do I do? And ultimately, I decided I have to say something because he had such an influence over so many people. So I went to the press. Now, they sat on it for 2 months, not sure what they wanted to do with it. And then I decided to go on to a live radio show, and I said it right then and there, and that's when everything broke very quickly. But here's what I thought would happen, honestly. I thought Ted Haggard was going to, that he got caught, he was going to admit it, he was going to cry, he would ask for forgiveness, and just go on. I had no idea the twists and turns the story was going to take.
What surprised you?
That he didn't fess up.
Well, I mean, how would he? I guess he could cover up and say, "No, I didn't. Yes, I did." So
but I had voicemail tapes of him.
So that was the irrefutable evidence. Was the conversations that you had recording in your book, which is pretty graphic. You talk in detail about the sex you had with Ted Haggard. Ted asked you to show him how a penis pump works.
Yeah.
You guys played with cock rings, vibrators, and even asked you repeatedly to wear a Stars and Stripe thong.
I still have that. You want to buy it for me?
Is it for sale?
I'm in the position I'm in, anything for sale.
Hey, well, there you go. Now, Ted said that he really hadn't had much experience before doing this. In your opinion, do you think that he frequented male prostitutes, or were you really his first?
No, I mean, it's pretty clear. I mean, that I think he's had others. Well, let me say this. You know, another gentleman has come out, you know, and...
Grant.
Yeah. Haas. And I knew about... Listen, I know about others that haven't come forward yet. And
because they've contacted you?
Huh?
Because they've contacted you?
Yes.
Okay.
I think the thing with Ted was, I think what he enjoyed being around me was, you know, I'm very open sexually. I mean, you know, I don't have any hang-ups. So
you got a great body, and you put out, you know? It's like...
No, it's just that...
Why would he not like you?
I just don't have hang-ups, and I think he felt comfortable around that that it got him a chance to explore some of these other things he's always wanted to try.
Yeah. Was he a good tipper?
I guess it depends what I did.
Oh, really? If you did other things, he'd give you more money and then...
There were some times where he would give me more than other times.
Well, what's a good tip from Ted Haggard?
Oh, $100, I thought.
Okay.
For a guy, how much was this guy making a year at the time that he was tipping you?
Well, I think, his base salary from the church, again, this is the base, not counting perks, $140,000.
I mean, $100, come on, Ted.
Well, cost of living is different there because, rates are different and stuff.
Did he ever make any marshmallows for you?
No.
I thought that was weird, his fascination with junk food. It's almost like it was kind of compulsive, wasn't it?
Because you're talking about the documentary that we saw.
The documentary we just saw last night, The Trials of Ted Haggard by Alexandra Pelosi. Yeah. What are your thoughts when seeing him consuming the Fruit Loops and the marshmallows and the...
As a personal trainer especially, right?
No, let me tell you this, though. When I am depressed, which I have been the last 2 years, I've eaten more junk food than I ever have. So,
but you still manage to keep those guns armed and ready.
The gym has totally kept my head on straight. As I listened, there were many times I just wanted to, Ted Haggard talks about suicide. I, too, thought about suicide because the pressure was so great, and I took so much heat for what I did that... So I understand about eating the junk food.
Mike, where was this heat coming from? Were people emailing you? Were they calling you? Were they coming to your house? How did you feel the pressure?
All the above.
Yeah.
And a lot of heat from the gay community. And that's why I was so distraught.
Why were the gay people living in Colorado, why were they not supporting you or backing you up?
Yeah. Colorado was the worst, but it was nationwide. Mm-hmm. I have learned so much about the gay community, and I don't even want to call it a community, to be honest with you.
The nature of being gay.
It's so divisive within ourselves. And I think the word that really hits me the most, and this is the truth, jealousy.
Why jealousy?
Saying, how dare you get all this attention? You just did this for, attention and blah, 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 and fame and fortune. You know what? They didn't want to understand why I did it and at the risk I did it for, too. People, they don't want to get to know you. They don't want the full story. And so they just make these judgments on you immediately, and that's what they go with. I mean, I've been spit on. I've been yelled at in gay bars. It's just, I can't even go out anymore. I mean, it's just, ugh.
Why would gay people, hate you? I mean, I guess I can understand but maybe having this discussion now would be relevant, is why would somebody who exposes the hypocrisy of a powerful institution and its leadership be seen as a villain?
I wish there was somebody on your show that feels that way towards me that you could talk to, because it's been very difficult, because these people don't really want to talk to me and tell me why. They just rather just be nasty and mean and whatever.
But I assume you're seeing a therapist about it. What do you think? I mean, why do you think that they would be? Is it really jealousy, or is it more that they also have conflicts about their sexuality and their religion, and you are exposing that?
Well, you know what? You hit a very good point, too. I believe some of these people are so unhappy with themselves that it's so much easier to be angry at someone else than be supportive. Mm-hmm. And you hit it on the head, a good point. But I'm telling you, jealousy is rampant.
But I can understand from closet cases or people on the internet where they have that anonymity, because people can be so cruel on the internet. But you're saying when you're out in public, there are out gay people that walk up to you and say, you're an asshole for outing this person.
Yep.
And
you're a scumbag. You're nothing but a whore.
Well, I know that outing people is a very controversial kind of thing, but I don't know. It seems to me when it's somebody of this kind of nature and they're up there and they're preaching, God is wants the sanctity of marriage and all that kind of stuff like that, that I would think people would thank you for exposing that. Do you get many people coming up to you and saying, Mike, I'm really glad that you did this because it really exposes the hypocrisy
absolutely.
Of this church.
And please don't misunderstand what I'm trying to say. Yes, I do have people that have thanked me. I do have supporters out there. I'm not saying everybody's that way, but it's amazing. I was amazed how many people in the gay community turned their back on me gay people that used to talk to me in the gym, just even to say hi, to this day they still won't say hi to me anymore. But here's what I find really interesting. I have probably, you know, I have a thing on YouTube right now, and I have probably, I've gotten about 500 emails since I posted that thing three or four days ago. I would say 80% of the emails are from religious people, people at the church, straight people, that are so supportive of me. I've gotten more positive feedback from the religious community to what I did versus the gay community.
Now, Mike, have you ever attended his church?
Yes.
Did people know who you were when you went there?
Yes, because I went there after the scandal happened because I wanted to see it.
Okay, and did
what
people,
color did you wear when you walked
did
in?
Did you wear red?
No, it was an off-the-shoulder.
You're like, yes, I am here.
Did people recognize
so I
you?
Some sparkles on. Give me a break.
Did people recognize you and talk to you?
Well, it was really interesting because I didn't tell the press I was going.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk in, and you have to understand, New Life Church is a fortress. It's huge. Mm-hmm. I walk in, and honest to God, I felt like I was Moses parting the sea. Heads turned. People got on their microphones. Like, he's here, he's here.
Really?
Oh, my God.
It was like code five.
hundreds and hundreds of the parishioners came up to me. Some were crying, holding me, thanking me for exposing the deception they've heard for so many years.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a very powerful.
Have you heard from any of the gay people that attend that church? Because I'm sure there's a lot of people that, you know, question their sexuality that are in that church.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
And they struggle. They struggle. And interesting enough, all the young men that have had encounters with, whether it was Ted or other people of trust at that church, it always circles around that they went for help trying to deal with their homosexuality, and that's when they were preyed upon.
Oh, so they came with questions and they got cocked.
Yep.
Wow.
Did you check out the documentary last night?
Oh, yeah.
What's your thoughts on that?
I cried it a few times, I have to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm. It was gloomy.
It was gloomy.
It started off really funny, though, with the double entendres.
Yes.
With him hugging all those guys, and then the sign on the door that says, like, rear entrance, and they focus on it.
And one time she scanned over to a statue of a wolf. but you have to understand, there's a part of me that always has hurt and always I struggled with, knowing that where this man is today, despite the fact you might say, well, he brought it on himself. If it wasn't for me, we wouldn't be watching that. We wouldn't see this man in this position right now. So a little bit of guilt, I have to understand. So that's why I think I basically, you know, got emotional watching it.
Alexandra Pelosi should send you a check.
Thank you.
You know?
All the time.
Or like a fruit basket, at least.
Well, you know, when she did Friends of God, which was the first documentary she did, again, it was getting ready to show when my story broke, and so she got all this attention back then, and now she got all this attention again because of this other kid coming forward right before this documentary. So she's gotten bonus publicity.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about what was it, Art from Kansas City? Was he just another trick? Did you guys have a relationship? Were you friends? Did you spend a lot of time together talking besides just the sex play?
Yeah, we did. And I never got into that when I broke the story. I just said it was simply cash for sex because I didn't feel like it was necessary to get into that. I had enough on my plate.
Would you say that you had a relationship with him?
Kind of, sort of, yeah. You know, I knew he had a wife and kids.
But I would imagine a lot of your clients do, right?
Oh, my God. I'd say 80% of my clientele were married men.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it wasn't for closeted married men, maybe hookers wouldn't be able to make a living?
And clergy. Yeah.
And clergy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why do you think the pastor Brady Boyd and the church are now coming forward with others who had affairs with the pastor?
They're not coming forward.
Well, they came forward and they said that the church was complicit in the cover-up and that they actually had paid.
But it's because they got caught.
Oh, is that why? I thought because the documentary was coming out, that's why they came out.
This kid decided he was going to talk even though he was paid hush money.
Oh.
He paid $200,000 to keep quiet, and he couldn't take it anymore. So he decided to talk. That's the only reason the church came forward.
Are they going
to
come after that money now?
Nope.
No, they're just going to walk
out.
Because
they paid for his therapy. They gave him hush money. They paid for his school. I mean, they were like, you know.
But here's my anger at the church, and this is where they, to me, they owe me an apology. They'll all never get it. If this they knew about this kid 3 weeks after my story broke. If they would have said, you know what, we do have another young man that had this situation with Ted Haggard, you know how much that would have helped me emotionally and mentally if they would have come forward then? But instead of that, they paid him to keep quiet. And I'm out there on my own taking a beating because people think I'm the only one. You know, I had no business opening my mouth. And boy, so they made it worse for me, yeah.
Well, I mean, considering what the Catholic Church has done and is doing with and settling out of court, paying hush money to people who allege abuse and harassment and molestation with their own clergymen, do you think that the New Life Church's reaction to the scandal surprised you? Were you surprised by the reaction?
What, you mean when I broke this story?
Yeah. Were you expecting the New Life Church to suddenly, like, be any more different than the other church trying to cover up a sex scandal?
What surprised me was Ted Haggard not admitting it off the bat, because that's what shocked me was when I heard him deny that he even knew Mike Jones. I'm going, oh my God, what is he doing to himself? And so that's what surprised me. So, you know, the story then just snowballed so quickly, but the church really didn't really it wasn't about the church at that time, it was about Ted Haggard.
Mm-hmm.
So they were just reading statements from Ted and apologizing, you know, and blah blah blah, unknowns to me that sooner 3 weeks after that they were going to have another kid come forward, but they paid him to be quiet.
Well, was there any talk about, like, paying you money to keep you quiet?
You know what's interesting? A friend of mine said, you know, Mike, everybody that has lied about this whole thing has gotten paid off or gotten money out of it. You're the one man that has told the truth and didn't get a penny.
But the church never came to you and said, Mike, quit talking about this, you know, because by that time the cat was already out of the bag.
Yeah, but, you know, I had a lot more to say than just at the beginning, but they didn't ever. See, and the church never even made an attempt to talk to me, never.
And has Ted ever made an attempt to talk to you? Have you had any communication with him at all?
Did you see him on Oprah or Larry King, either one of those?
We saw a little bit of Larry King last night, yeah.
See, one of the things that's brought me to peace in the last couple of days is, number one, he has apologized publicly to me and the gay community. And two, and I'm not patting myself on the back for this, but he says, if it wasn't for Mike Jones exposing me, I may be dead by now. My life would be spiraling out of control.
Right.
So he's thanking me for actually exposing him. And you know what? That's given me peace with myself and peace with Ted Haggard.
Well, and with Ted Haggard, he's on a journey.
Yes.
Where do you think this path will take him?
Back to the church, eventually.
Back to his own church that he founded?
Not necessarily that, but he's born to be in the pulpit. That's just Ted Haggard.
And
he's good at it. He has a ways to go, I think, still, because, you know, his explanation about he's heterosexual but with gay attachments, what the hell does that mean? I think he has a ways
friends
to go.
With benefits.
No, seriously, that's almost what it sounds like.
It does sound like a Seinfeld episode. I mean, it's like, almost seems like the church is sort of like deciding to come forward is because they're almost concerned or worried that he might, like, stage a coup or something.
I think they've always thought, listen, there's always been rumors of that. There's always been rumors about
and he could
church back.
I mean, Ted Haggard is very what was impressed upon me in the documentary is that he's actually really charming.
And people genuinely have affection for him.
Hey, listen, why do you think he was so successful? He's a very charismatic person. But you have to remember, that's the way he was before, too. And he was not telling the truth. So you have to be really, you know, everybody's got to wait and not get too carried away about just falling into his little web again because of how he comes across. He's really got to prove himself, I think.
Well, what do you think when he says things like, well, he was never one of those preachers that got up there on the pulpit and preached anti-gay hate speech?
Well, this is true. He wasn't exactly hateful, but when he would say, you know, if you're homosexual, you're not going to go to heaven. Or when he said one time at a gay pride parade, he said, you may as well have a murderer's pride parade. You know, those things may, he may not be up there ranting about it, but they're still hurtful.
And where do you think he'll end up, though, like, sexually? Do you think he'll come out as a gay person?
No.
No? Never?
I don't think he ever will. I think he's always going to... Because he wants to live that dream again that he had before. And I think he's just going to say that he has resolved his issues at some point here and continue and, you know...
But, you know, that pull of, you know, it seems like it's a path that a lot of men take, and married men or people that are in the closet, is they, you know, they're straight, but then sometimes they like to have gay sex and that kind of thing, or they might come out as bisexual, and oftentimes they do end up just coming out and being gay.
I know, but I think the thing with Ted Haggard, you have to remember, there's a whole business behind this, too. It isn't just, you know, some average Joe on the street.
Right. Do you think he'll be having, like, he'll maybe come back and just continue to have gay sex on the side? Or do you think he'll probably never be able to enjoy that sweet, sweet cock again?
I don't think he'll ever be able to enjoy that again.
No?
If he ever wants to get back to the Ted Haggard that was successful and people talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he'll have to just buy a good porn movie and go to the bathroom.
Well, that's no fun.
Well, sometimes it's okay.
Yeah, it's what it takes, you know?
Yeah, whatever in a pinch.
I mean, you know, why can't Ted Haggard just, like, become part of a gay-friendly church?
Well, let me tell you, I think eventually Ted Haggard and I are going to meet. I just think it's going to happen. We're going to talk. And we're not going to talk about the past.
Mm-hmm. We should film it.
Talk about the future. And that's one of the things I want to talk to him about.
Well, let me ask, do you consider yourself to be a Christian?
Yes.
Okay. And why are you asking him that question?
I'm just wondering because, like, I don't know if there was, like, a Christian kind of
vibe.
You know, vibe with the two of you. I don't know if you talked about God and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, you have to remember, I didn't know who he was for 2.5 years.
Okay.
Well, showing that there's all this hypocrisy and the fact that this institution and this religion is sort of being manipulated so severely, has anyone ever questioned the religion itself? Maybe the religion inherently is corrupt. Has that ever been brought up?
Well, it has. I mean, you know, the one thing about the evangelical movement, and again, when I say these things, I'm not patting on myself on the back for it. They've taken a big hit from the Ted Haggard scandal. It hurt them immensely. It diminished James Dobson's power, and it hit him hard. And I think I get so much mail from members of New Life Church that are just like, you know what, this has to change. We have to be accepting of everyone. So, you know what, it's coming. And, you know, it's just...
Why can't the people who are, like, pro-gay as part of New Life Church just start their own church? Or turn to the leadership and say, we want you to embrace gay people now.
Yeah, I think that's really going to happen.
Why is it not happening today?
I think the part
right now.
I don't know. I don't know the answer.
Maybe that's your calling, though, Mike. I mean, maybe this is like you're doing these talk shows. You're having a conversation with these people of the church. Maybe this is your leadership position to say we need to change. You guys need to change today.
Let me tell you this. I requested to meet with Brady Boyd, who is the new pastor at New Life Church. To this day, he still refuses to meet with me.
He's gotten fatter from the scandal. Did you notice that?
He's eating junk food, too.
He is. They're all, like, you know, loading up on the Fruit Loops.
I think the problem, too, with Ted is it's not just because of the gay thing. So maybe if he was a single person and came out as gay, maybe they'd be able to accept it. But the fact that he's married and that he cheated on his wife and, you know, the sanctity of marriage. And so if he were to enjoy the wonderful gay sex that we all love to enjoy, he'd probably have to get a divorce. Unless, of course, they're going to redefine marriage, then they're going to have an open marriage. And then how many people are going to support that at that kind of church, you know?
The problem Ted Haggard is always going to have when he comes back and starts preaching and stuff again is, you know, one thing he has changed is I don't think you'll ever hear from him again that homosexuals are not going to go to heaven. I think that kind of talk is going to be gone from Ted Haggard, and I think it's going to be positive when he does start talking again from a religious standpoint because this is... I think his mind is opened at least somewhat that, my God, look at the hate that came towards me for people thinking I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that gay unicorn was on Noah's Ark after all. Huh?
Right.
So what can we learn from Ted Haggard's story and your story?
Well, we all have vulnerabilities. And we are, in a sense, all kind of insecure with ourselves to a certain extent. And I know it sounds simplistic to say, oh, we're all human and we all err. That's too simplistic. But we are. And I think it doesn't matter whether you want to call me a prostitute or you want to call him a mega preacher. Mm-hmm. You know, it all comes around to it. We're all the same.
Did you kind of become in high demand afterwards? Did people say, oh, I want the same guy that, you know, Ted Haggard was with? No, or did it kill business?
I had to stop everything because you have to understand, I had a lot of death threats against mm-hmm. me. And I was afraid. I was afraid to do anything.
So, was there any talk from, like, the, you know, from the district attorney or the
police
people?
Knocked on my door.
The police knocked on your door and said, are you an escort or a hooker?
And I said, well, come in here and I'll show you. No.
And then the music started playing.
And then I said, is that a gun? No.
So the police were asking you, baiting you with that dumbass question. It's like, I hope you said no.
No, listen, when they came to my door, I said, here's my attorney's card.
And then they just walked away.
And that was it.
Okay.
That is sort of a weird thing because you put out this book saying that you did work as
right.
did these illegal actions.
Right.
Yet the police can't persecute that.
No.
And I guess what's the legality on that?
Well, because they really pretty much have to catch you in the act.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because
so,
even with Ted Haggard, I don't even think the police ever talked to Ted Haggard, and he admitted paying me. He admitted buying drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not the saying you did something; it's getting caught.
Because you're not going to testify against yourself
in
court.
Anybody can say anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that doesn't mean it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hence, that's why a sex worker usually gets called an escort, because they're being paid for the time they hang out with,
yeah.
and coincidentally they find each other mutually sexually attractive and connect.
Yes.
Well, you know, it's funny because, listen, I had men literally dying in my arms. I had men dying of AIDS that I would hold and hug, men dying of leukemia. I mean, it wasn't all about sex. That's what's interesting about escorting. For me, it was, I comforted a lot of men who were sick and or were so depressed. So it isn't always about sex.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying you were the hooker with a heart of gold.
Thank you. If you know, label me, I like that label.
You like that? It's Julia Roberts, a pretty woman, you know.
Oh,
well, it's a cliche.
It's a cliche, but it's a Hollywood cliche.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? And here's mm-hmm. the double standard. You know mm-hmm. that Ashley Dupree that got caught with Spitzer?
Yes.
Okay. She's on good. She's on all these programs like 2020 and all these pie mm-hmm. programs. With me, they want nothing to do with me.
Why do you think that is?
Well, because it's the whole straight gay issue.
So if you were like a hot woman,
yep.
you'd be like a porn star.
So Tyra Banks doesn't want you?
Well, they never call.
Well, you should call her up. I'm
sure your publicist
would
will do a good job of getting them.
My publicist has put. It's just different.
But Tyra is not going to do anything for you that coming on the show is not going to do.
Know,
it's like,
so, it's
I mean, you're telling your story. People are familiar with who you are, mm-hmm. and it's really up to you where you go from here.
Well, right, but you know, it's like. One of the things Larry King asked Ted Haggard, he goes, do you think the story would be different if Mike Jones was Michelle Jones? And he goes, yes, it totally would be totally different if I was
sure.
a woman.
Mm-hmm. So where do you go from here, Mike Jones?
Well, now that for the first time in 2.5 years, I have some peace with myself, because I haven't for so long, I think now I can start focusing on Mike Jones, which I haven't for a long time. So I don't know where it all leads to now, but I have a much clearer head than I even did a week ago.
Really?
Yeah.
In just 1 week?
Yeah, and it's because of what Ted Haggard said publicly.
So in a lot of ways, he's laid that demon to rest.
Yes.
Thank you so much
Thank
for talking
you,
to us, Mike.
We wish you the best in the future.
Thank you very
okay.
much.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I spent my life believing there was nothing good in me except the blood of Jesus, but wasn't he the one who made me? I looked for love inside the church, found it came at quite a cost, and I learned the truth without compassion is a double-edged sword. And I've lied, I've cried, I've prayed, denied. I've tried to be a better man, I won't give it up till I lay me down. But I'll smile and say, anyhow.
Mike Jones lives in Denver, Colorado.
You can buy his book, I Had to Say Something, The Art of Ted Haggard's Fall, on our website, feastoffools.net. Well, he was an interesting person, huh?
Yeah, he seemed lonely, though. Yeah,
well, I think he's probably come under a lot of fire from a lot of people, you know.
I think it's time for him now to put this to rest.
To go out and be like,
and
hey.
And find himself a boyfriend.
Yes.
He's got a body.
He's got tits. Look at him, like, big time man.
I know,
man,
it's like,
chest.
He's got a rack.
And some guns and stuff.
He's got guns. He's got more guns and a rack, more than the average, like, auto boat show.
Mike, if you're listening, send us some, you know, some nice pics of yourself.
Mail at Feast of Fools. I can't believe we're asking the offer. Well, we could just call him back and ask him for pictures.
Say, hey, yeah, send us some photos.
Yeah, because, you know, if he worked as an escort, he had some pretty good...
He's probably got the goods.
Photos,
I
too.
I imagine he's got the goods.
Remember, folks, today's Feast of Fools is brought to you in part by generous support of listeners like you and by Steamworks Gym, Sauna, and Bath.
Release the pressure!
Saca la presión.
Steamworks.
Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play. Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, Toronto, Seattle, Washington, and now... Vancouver, British Columbia.
When you're ready to play, Steamworks is ready for you. Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get your very special discount. Remember, folks,
play hard, play smart. I want to go to that Steamworks in British Columbia. Doesn't that sound fancy?
I know, it's the Queen's
Steamworks.
It's British
Columbia. I'm sure there's some kings in there, too. But,
you know what I'm saying? It's the British Columbia.
Yes, British, yes.
Isn't something... What does the term Columbia mean?
Well, there's Columbia downtown, like down south, so that's like the Spanish Columbia, and then there's Columbia up... Where with the British.
But Columbia is a reference to Christopher Columbus.
Yes.
And then British.
Yes.
British Columbia is sort of like the British-Spanish... New World.
They're giving a salute to Columbus, but it's British.
It's British.
Because it's Canada, which is, you know, very British in some parts.
And so to call your state British Columbia is sort of like...
It's a province.
It's a province.
Yes.
Well, it's the Canadian equivalent of a state.
Well, they're also like, maybe because there's the Columbia River up by there too, isn't there? I don't know.
And it just sounds very royal. I've been up there.
You have?
I've been to Victoria.
Well, we can smoke pot in a cafe and then go to the bathhouse. I think.
Oh, really?
No, you can't do drugs and go to the bathhouse, I don't think. I don't know.
But they have legalized marijuana in British Columbia.
I think they do, yeah.
That's interesting. So what are your thoughts on Mike Jones' story and his message of... is it reconciliatory or...
I don't know. He's just kind of...
Exposing the hypocrisy of the church.
Right.
Was ultimately Mike Jones coming forward better for gay people or worse for them?
I want every hooker out there to turn in all their evangelical tricks.
Well, that means you'll get into trouble, too.
I'm not a hooker.
So the music featured on today's show is the music by Mike Rickard. The song you're hearing in the background is Natural from his album Stirred Not Shaken. Or Stirred Not Shaked. You can get it through our website, feastoffools.net. Support independent music. He's gay and he's Christian.
Wow, wonderful. I'm Mark Fillion.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.